Shema Yisrael.
Welcome to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries with Aaron Budgen. Aaron discovered Jesus is his Messiah while preparing to be a rabbi. He now teaches for several organizations and is the teaching pastor for Living God Ministries. Strongly distinguishing between the Old and New Covenants, Aaron presents the scriptures from a Judaic and historical frame of reference. Join Aaron now as he reveals the reality foreshadowed and the new life we can now experience because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us.
I'm presenting a verse-by-verse study through Ephesians, and in the previous message, I was in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. In verse 14, Paul said, "Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." So going back up into verse 14, what he's really talking about is salvation. He's talking about the transition that we go through when we go from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. And when we are made spiritually alive, we have our God dwelling within us. That is what makes us alive, is the life of God, the Spirit of God dwelling within us. We are made alive, and He illuminates our hearts, our minds, our souls. He illuminates our being so that we are able to see the world through His eyes. I believe that's fundamentally what he's referring to at the end of verse 14 when he said, "And Christ will give you light." He will give you illumination so that you can see things through His eyes. So that's verse 14. Moving forward into verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And this is what I was speaking about in the previous message, was the importance of walking circumspectly in the sense of walking one step at a time in your faith with consideration for where you were just before. And the reason why is because there is so much about our faith, about knowing our God, that requires us to understand some things before He can reveal other things to us. This is just the way things are. And this is described as growth and maturity. It's something that happens as we grow in the knowledge and the truth of our God, who He is, and as we get to know Him as a person. And of course, if we deviate from that which is true, if we deviate by believing things that are not true, then this will get in the way of our growth and maturity to the extent where we will perhaps not continue to grow or mature in a way or in the direction that would be considered to be real from God's point of view. And so it's important to walk carefully in the faith and continually pay attention to the foundations of the faith. Pay attention to the things that you believed that allow you to consider believing other things as you are exposed to them. And of course, the most important thing to understand clearly is what the gospel is. That's one of the reasons why I put a significant amount of effort into describing the gospel in these radio programs. It is because it is that important, and it is important to recognize that there are many different beliefs concerning what the gospel is. And if your belief in the gospel deviates too much from the way it really is, then this will get in the way of you being able to grow and mature. And as you walk circumspectly, you will continually be referring back to an incomplete gospel or a gospel that is not valid at all. And so whatever you build on top of that will be a deviation from the truth. And so this is something that he warns about, that this is something that we should be careful with, not be foolish, but to be wise. That's verse 15, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And then he goes on in the following verses to give us a better understanding of what it means to walk wisely, what that would entail. So this is not just an open-ended statement that we can define any way we like. It's not a good idea to do that, to say, well, what's going to be foolish? What is not going to be foolish? It's easy to say that anything that is contrary to what you already believe would be considered to be foolish and would be considered to be unwise. But what if what you believe is invalid or wrong or simply not true? What if that is the case? And I do believe that it is important for people to continually revisit their faith and what their foundation is and what it's built on and the things that people believe. It's important to revisit these things continually to ensure that what you believe is as close to the truth as you can get. And through each iteration of revisiting, you may discover something that you could make an adjustment with. So moving forward into verse 16, he starts out by giving an example of redeeming the time because the days are evil. All right. And so to walk circumspectly, to not be foolish, to be wise, let's make good use of our time. The days are evil. That's a way of expressing the fact that we live in a fallen, evil world surrounded by lots of evil people. That's just the way things really are. And we get to enjoy a lot of suffering in our lives, either because of bad decisions we make or because of bad decisions that other people make. But either way, we have a limited amount of time. You have a limited amount of time in this world, in this life, in the physical life that you have. You are going to eventually, physically, die. That is going to happen. And while you are living your life here, you have opportunities to get to know your God in ways that you will not be able to get to know Him when you see Him in heaven. This is important to understand, that the time that you have here will give you ways and opportunities for you to know your God in a way that you never would be able to otherwise, and you never will be able to get to know Him. And so make good use of your time here, and even in the midst of all the evil that you will get to enjoy in one way or another, in the midst of all the sufferings, in the midst of all the challenges and obstacles and difficulties of life, these are things that God will walk with you through. He will walk through these things with you, and He will reveal Himself to you. He will reveal the world to you. He will reveal yourself to you. He will have many opportunities to share things with you in the midst of these kinds of circumstances that you simply would never really be able to appreciate and enjoy and understand unless you were going through them. And so redeeming the time because the days are evil has to do with making the best use of your time in the midst of the evil that we are surrounded by. All right, now it's very important not to establish a new set of laws that you are now going to live by that govern how your day is going to be experienced. This is not a good idea, but this is what people will tend to do. Well, let's make sure that we are using our time well, and so let's get our schedules out and make sure that we have a list of all the things that we think God would expect us to do, and let's figure out in the amount of time that we have available how we can do all those things that we expect God to do. And what you're going to end up doing is, of course, living by a new system of law. You're going to separate yourself from the love of God, from the personal relationship with God that He has called us to. And so it's important not to try to do that. For myself, I personally try to live every day as if it is my first and as if it is my last. And by the end of the day, I like to look back on my day and say to myself and to God that I did what I could with my day, and that I feel very good and confident that what I did or did not do was important. That's just myself. I live that way on a daily basis. When I start the next day, I do not consider how I may have succeeded or failed the day prior. I don't consider that. I don't consider that maybe he's ashamed of me because I didn't do everything that he perhaps would want me to do. Or maybe I didn't use my time like he would if he was here manifested in the flesh. It's easy to get caught up in these kinds of traps that can take you away from the love and acceptance of God, and then in order to get back to it, you have to go back into some kind of sacrificial system, some kind of forgiveness system, a new system of law, something, in order to reestablish what you think your relationship with God is really about, when it has nothing to do with that at all. Redeeming the time has to do with making best use of what we have with our lives and understand that this is our opportunity. It is our opportunity to grow and mature as we are able in the relationship that we have with Him. Moving forward into verse 17, he continues with the idea of being wise in the sense of being unwise. And so let's go back up to verse 15. He says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And then going to verse 17, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." All right? So you can see the connection here between verse 15 and 17, that walking circumspectly has a lot to do with understanding what the will of the Lord is. All right? Now, there are two ways that this can be considered. The first way would be to say that the will of the Lord has to do with His desire. What does He desire for us or for somebody else? What is it that He really wants to see happen or not happen? And this is the predominant belief. This is what the overwhelming majority of people in the Christian world believe when it comes to the will of the Lord, which means that you should be making good use of your time and figure out and understand what God wants you to do and what He doesn't want you to do, and make sure that you're making the best use of your time by only doing those things that He wants you to do. All right? That's how most people will approach this. I, of course, have a second point of view. I have a different perspective concerning this. In this case, I do believe that he is referring to the will of God as a description of the inheritance that we have received as a result of his death. To me, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about understand the inheritance that you have in Christ, that if you are going to make the most use of your time, the maximum use of your time, if you're going to do that, then you need to know what you have in Christ Jesus, and you need to live with what you have in Christ Jesus. And that is quite a mystery to most people, unfortunately. But this is what he presented at the beginning of Ephesians. The beginning of his letter, he spoke about the inheritance and the will of God. I spent a lot of time talking about this subject in Ephesians chapter 1. And here in Ephesians chapter 5, he brings it up again. He brings it up to say, listen, you have a limited amount of time. You need to continually refer back to the basic fundamentals of the gospel, that you have been born again by the Spirit of God. He does not hold your sins against you anymore. You do not live by the law. You live by the inheritance. And so discover what the inheritance is that has been given to you according to the will of the Lord that went into effect after he died. Because when a will is established, it only goes into effect when the one who wrote it passes away. That's when it goes into effect, as was described in the letter to the Hebrews. This is what it means to walk circumspectly and redeeming the time. It is to understand the will of the Lord in the sense of understand what the inheritance is and do not be unwise, but be wise, don't be foolish, and understand, discover, learn how to apply what you already have in Christ Jesus. What happens to people when they don't know what they have in Christ Jesus? What happens to people when they cannot make good use of their time with what they have? What happens? People devote their lives to trying to get something from God. That's what their life is about. It's about, how do I get blessed? How do I get something from God? How do I get Him to respond? How do I get Him to do something for me? You know, that kind of thing. That is what most people end up doing, and that is the Christian life for the overwhelming majority of the people in the Christian world. It always has been, and it probably always will be. And this is why. And this is why most people are foolish and unwise. And why it is important for Paul to say, listen, stop being, or don't be, so foolish and unwise. But know what you have and live with what you have. Moving forward into verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. All right, now we are filled with the Spirit when we are saved. This is just simply a figurative way to describe how we can live our lives in comparison with how people may have been living their lives. Now, I certainly cannot relate to the idea of being drunk with wine or with anything because I've never been drunk in my life, and I don't think I ever will be. I don't see how that could happen. So I personally cannot relate to this, but I have observed a lot of people who did decide to be drunk with wine, beer, whatever, you know, alcohol, and to do drugs and that kind of thing. I have had lots of exposure to people who decided that this was important to them and that this would be an important part of their life. But I have to tell you that through observing this, especially when I was quite young, I made a decision that I would value my consciousness, my mind, my ability to think, and my ability to make better use of my time than to do what I saw other people doing. That was a personal motivation that I don't think God had anything to do with at all. I didn't know the Lord when I believed this, when I felt this way, when I made these decisions. I had no consideration for the existence of God at all. And so a person who doesn't know the Lord can certainly make a decision to not get drunk or do drugs or damage their brains in some way so that they can't function like they really could function if they wouldn't get into these things to begin with. All right, but he says, in comparison with you using your life to numb your brain, to disable your ability to function, instead of doing that, then be filled with the Spirit, which means, fundamentally, it means be filled with the love of God. Be filled with the acceptance of God. Let your meaning and purpose be defined through your God living your life with you. That's fundamentally what it means to be filled with the Spirit. A simple way to describe this would be to be filled with the love of God. That's a reasonable way for a person to understand this. It does not mean that there has to be some kind of physical manifestations of some kind that happen in order to validate or in order to enforce the idea that maybe you really are filled with the Spirit. I know that there are a lot of people who get into that sort of thing. I have explored it carefully. I understand what people believe when it comes to those things. I just do not agree with them at all. I just don't. I believe that he's talking about being filled with the love of God. In verse 19, he says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, this obviously doesn't mean that we are to just speak to each other with songs, you know, that we're to sing to one another and make melody in our hearts to one another. If that happens, then I certainly am not going to protest it, but I don't think that he is saying that this is the proper way for us to communicate with one another. I don't think that that's what he's intending to say. What I do know is that when it comes to psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody, there is one thing that is consistent through everything that is described here in verse 19, and that is emotions. Music, fundamentally, is the language of emotions. And so when he mentions here that we are to relate to one another in our hearts to the Lord, and of course to each other, that to me he is encouraging us to have an emotional connection with one another. Certainly not based on alcohol, like he said in verse 18, but to be filled with the love of God that will result in an emotional connection with other people. And that this is a good use of our time. You know, redeeming the time can be described as discovering what you have in Christ Jesus as your inheritance that you are to take and make use of in verse 17. In verse 18, to be filled with the love of God, that is a way of redeeming the time and living wisely, to relate to one another with an emotional connection as it is related to the way that our God loves us. And then in verse 20, he speaks of being thankful, that this is a good use of your time, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live with thankfulness, to pay close attention to those things that we can be thankful for. You know, and this is really tough. This is really hard for people who take the position from verse 17 that the will of the Lord has something to do with what he desires for us to have or to experience. How can you ever truly be thankful? You can't. There is no way to do that when you are relentlessly trying to establish your wisdom and make the best use of your time by trying to understand what God wants you to do or not do. When you live this way, there is no way for you to live in genuine thankfulness in comparison with living by the inheritance that you have received as a result of his death. So that's verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now in the following verses, verses 21 to 33, Paul speaks about a way that these truths can be applied in our daily lives. That because of this relationship that we have with our God, that we understand the inheritance that he has given to us, and we live with what we have in Christ Jesus, this is going to change the way that we relate to other people. And so he gives an example of a wonderful opportunity for us to apply what we have been given in Christ Jesus. In this example, it is the example of the husband and the wife. And I will explain this in the next message.
You have been listening to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries. You can hear all of our programs for free through our radio archive at livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net. Do help us develop new radio programs and continue broadcasting on this and other radio stations. Send your contributions to Living God Ministries, P.O. Box 38353, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80937. Or use the donation link on our website, livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net.